The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, we want to welcome our podcast audience, YouTube, and Facebook as well. Again, if this is your first time joining us, we welcome you. Please let us know below in the comment section if it's possible to let us know where you're joining us from and that you are new, and we want to acknowledge you for coming on here to the broadcast. Genesis 13 is where we're going to kick off this first message on the days of Lot. We're going to kind of shift gears on this one. We're going to get a lot into the historical aspect of events that took place in the time of Lot, or in the days of the cities of the plains, or what we know as Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to get into that aspect. But before we do that, I want to pull out, I believe, some practical stuff that leads up to the cities of the plains or to Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's what we're going to start with here, Genesis 13. Because when I was reading this, as we were putting this together, I really feel like as we go into 2021, at least here on our calendar, as we enter into the year 2021, there's some practical stuff here out of Genesis 13 leading up to Lot getting into Sodom and Gomorrah that I think is something we really need to be paying attention to. So I'm going to read this, Genesis 13. And then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, who was his uncle. So there was blood relation here. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and he had herds and he had tents. And according to Genesis 13, 6, the land was not able to support them both. So this is where it came time where there had to be a separation. That's important. I'm going to talk about that in a second. That in order that they may dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, quote, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the left, then I will go to the left. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. So we see here, I want to show you something here. There's two men. One represents an older generation. One represents a younger generation. And they got to a place in their journey where they, at one point, they walked together. They were on a journey together. Watch this. The young and the old were together, but there came a point in their journey where the more mature voice, the elder, had to step up and position himself in leadership to say to the younger, look, we can no longer walk together in this journey. We are blood. Come on, somebody. We are family. We are in agreement. We are on the same page. We are fighting the same battle, but you must go one direction and I must go in another direction. And I believe, prophetically speaking, I believe, as many of you guys know, our voice of our ministry is really kind of keyed in on and homes in on the watchmen and the voice of the prophets in our time, in our generation. And I believe Abraham, in some essence, can represent an older voice. And then Lot represents, again, Lot is his nephew who represents a younger voice. And I really believe that there are a lot of the older voices, the older generals of prophecy, the older generals of the faith, the older watchmen are either A, they have come off the wall, or B, they've gone on to be with the Lord. But nevertheless, they're more and more, as each year passes, what I call these generals of the faith, or these watchmen, these older, this older generation has a voice that has kind of seasoned. It's a seasoned voice. It's a mature voice. It's a tried voice. And they have been on the wall for years. They are true watchmen, true prophets who have a heart of the Father, will raise up the next generation. They're going to pour into the next generation, and they're going to per se pass the baton, or lay their mantle down, kind of like Elijah and Elisha. Elijah went so far, but then his journey had to transition from earth to heaven. God took him to heaven. And I believe he's going to come back as one of the two witnesses. But there was a voice that came behind him, that followed him. And it was Elisha. And so there was a mantle that was passing. So here we see that Abraham he recognizes that there has to be a separation process. And I believe right now in the body of Christ, we, especially this year, in 2020, going into 21, we've seen this separation. Not only just a separation of the wheat and the tare, or the sheep and the goats. I'm not so much per se talking about that, but I'm also saying that we're seeing a separation of, and we're seeing a distinction between the seasoned watchmen and those who may be what the Bible calls novice, or immature, or they're not seasoned in this calling or this position. And I hate to say this, but I believe this is what has got us in a lot of trouble, especially during this election cycle, because I know there's people still saying it's not over and this and that, but it's going to be interesting to see how things are playing out, because there's a lot of voices. But it doesn't mean they're seasoned voices. It doesn't mean they're mature voices. So watch this. I want to get back to this. So Abraham says, in order for there to be no strife and no division between us, let us separate. Let there be a separation. And he gave Lot, the younger, the first choice. And listen to this in verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And my Bible, in this passage right here, in the parentheses of this, it says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot is looking to the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's saying, it's well watered, it's easy on the eyes, it looks pleasing. This is all going to play in. And the Bible says it looked like a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. So Lot moves towards the cities of the plains, and they separated from one another, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. In verse 13, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place in which you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land in which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I don't want to home in so much on Abraham here, but I want to focus more on Lot. But again, Abraham, after Lot made his decision, Abraham made his decision. We know the outcome of this. I want to get into this. So watch this. Lot was moved by appearance and not discernment. Let me say that again. Lot was moved by appearance and not discernment. So I believe, listen, guys, I believe as we, especially as we go into 2021, We need to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. Whether, listen, it's spending more time in the Word, spending more time in prayer, spending a season in fasting, a season of being separated and consecrated apart from the world and from distractions, so that we can be, according to John, it says that his sheep know his voice, and the voice of the stranger they know not, nor shall they follow. We need to have an ear to the Lord and what he is saying, because we don't want to be moved by our circumstance. We don't want to be moved by culture. We don't want to be moved by, oh, this is a big one. You ready? We don't want to be moved by fear and intimidation, whether it's coming through the television, whether it's coming from a broadcast, whether it's coming from the radio, whether it's coming from wherever it's coming. We do not want to be moved by fear and manipulation. So we need to be moved by the discerning of the Holy Spirit. Lot looked and saw the land, and according to Lot, it was well watered. It looked like a garden or a paradise. And I'm going to just read a little bit of my notes here. There will be many times in our walk with God that we will be faced with decisions that we are going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit, discernment, and wise counsel above our five senses. But it looked good. It smelled good. It tastes good. It felt good. It had to be good, because after all, and I'm going to say something else too, not every open door is necessarily an open door from God. Let me say that again. Not every open door is necessarily an open door from God. Again, we have to have discernment. Many people will move to a different state because it has nicer weather, it pays more money, it has better opportunities, there's more this, more that, it's the status, etc. But what they don't realize is that behind this veil of deception is things they end up discovering. They end up moving there and discover that the crime rate is higher. They don't feel safe any longer. The job is much more stressful. It ends up downsizing. That goes out of business. They lose their job. There's corruption. They end up in a constant state of stress and turmoil and depression. They're forced to keep up with the Joneses, or they lose their prayer life. They lose their devotion. They begin to lose their family. They think they will have lots of friends and family, and they get settled in because of empty promises and because everything looked like it was going to be great. And then they've come to find out that they'd never hear from any of them. They don't hang out with them. There's no phone calls. There's no connections. Through all of these circumstances, they suddenly realize they can't find a good church home. They can't find a good church family. They can't get plugged in. And at the end of the day, they realize, listen to this, they were driven by sight or senses and emotion. Oh, that overrid their spiritual discernment. Wow. And I believe, listen, as we go into 2021, everybody's like, oh, I can't wait to get rid of 2020. I can't wait to get to 24. Listen, there's a possibility that 2021 might be 2020 on steroids. So again, and I'm not just, this is not just speculation, but you can read the articles on it. You can do your own research. They're saying now there's more depression than ever. There's more oppression. There's more suicides than ever. There's more, people are just losing their minds. You hear about it all the time. I mean, if the narrative fits the bill, you just had a nut in Nashville who was a conspiracy theorist and blew himself up because he was attacking a communication center in Nashville. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about we've got to stay in him, in his word, in the Holy Spirit, so that we may know which direction to go. God's going to speak to some people in 2021, and he's going to tell you either to stay or he's going to tell you to go. He's going to tell you to stay with this group or he's going to tell you to leave that group. He's going to tell you to go to this church or he's going to tell you to leave that church. He's going to tell you to stay in this relationship or he's going to tell you to leave that relationship. Now, look, I know people are getting on here or they're getting mad because they thought I was going to get deep historically and talk about the sins of Sodom, Gomorrah, and all this. And we're going to get to that. That's coming. That's why we're doing a series. But again, I want to pull out some practical applications to this. Come on, that's going to help you before we get to the parallels of the moral state that Sodom and Gomorrah was in, or the sins that caused the judgment or the ultimate demise against them. We're going to get there, so don't think we're not. Many people will make relationship decisions based on appearance. Oh, they're good looking. They've got lots of money. They've got a nice vehicle. They've got a nice home. They've got a nice body. They've got this. They've got that. They're so caught up in physical appearance that they ignore the fact that these individuals who they're attracted to don't have any relationship with God. They don't have a church home. They don't read the Bible. They're abusive. They're selfish. They're not faithful. They've got track records. Come on, somebody. Many people end up making wrong decisions because they're driven by emotion. This is what got Lot in the trouble that he got in. Because he was moved by what he saw. He was moved by what he could feel. What's the Bible say? We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So, when analyzing Lot, we discovered that there's this three-step progression that ended in disaster that we can learn from Lot. Number one, it says that he looked towards Sodom and the cities of the plains. Number two, he moved to the cities of the plains. And number three, he put his roots down, or his foundation was built upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So look, this is the progression of bondage and trouble we get into. Listen, no one ever falls into adultery. No one ever falls into a bad circumstance most of the time. Most of the time, it's a progression. Watch this. He looked towards Sodom and the cities of the plains. People that fall into adultery, they were already looking. They had the look. Come on, they were looking to lust after them. Number two, it says he moved to the city of the plains. They begin to make a move. Hey, let me get your phone number so that we can do lunch sometimes. You know, a business lunch. I'm doing air quotations for those on podcast. We're going to talk about, quote, business. So let me get that number from you. Let me follow you on Facebook. So what are they doing? They're moving towards deception. They're moving towards bondage. They're moving towards captivity. And then before we know it, they've looked, they've moved. And the next thing you know, you see Sister So-and-so, or you see Mr. So-and-so, and you see them at the church, and you ask, where's so-and-so? Where's your wife? Where's your husband? Oh, they apparently just, they got up and they left. They abandoned their wife. They abandoned their husband. They abandoned their children. They abandoned their family. And it wasn't just overnight. It was some thing on Facebook that occurred. This was something that progressively took place over a period of time. They were messing around. They were looking. Come on. They were moving. They were making their move and end up costing them. You hear about it all the time, guys, all the time. As a result of this poor decision from Lot and his family, it ended up costing him greatly. So, again, I'm going to highlight some stuff here. It says the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The cities of the plains ended up being filled with violence, idolatry, abomination, sexual immorality, pride, and wickedness. Lot ended up losing. Listen, and we're going to talk about this more in detail when we get into this series, but I want to prove a point. I'm going to drive a point home. Lot ended up losing his son-in-laws, his wife, and his two daughters ended up, although he lost his son-in-laws and his wife was turned into a pillar of salt, his two daughters were taken out of Sodom, but he didn't get Sodom out of them. All because he made the wrong decision. The cities ended up being judged by God and turned into ashes. I'm feeling a real pushing of the Holy Spirit to elaborate a little bit more on this. Let me go back to this principle of the older and the younger. This is not about age so much, but I'm talking about, let me rephrase it. Let me say mature voices in our lives. Listen, I'm 40. I'll be 44 in 3 weeks on January 17th. I'll be 44 years of age. So I'm into the age now where I've got younger men under me and this is weird to me because my mind doesn't want to comprehend this, but they look up to me as a father and a voice as a father to them, or as an Abraham to a Lot. But then listen, but I've got individuals in my life that are old. I have Abrahams, if you would, in my life that I need to go to them. I need to get counsel from them. I need to discuss some things with them. I need them to speak into my life. I need them to give me wise counsel. I need to help me with the decision. Hey, will you agree with me? Will you pray with me? Will you fast with me? Will you help me? If any two shall touch and agree on any one thing, it shall be done. I need, boy, listen to this, not just affirmation in my life, but I need a voice, a mature voice that's going to look at me and say, look, I know you want to move here, or I know you want to make this decision, or I know you want to partner with so-and-so, or I know you want to be a part or connect with this individual or that business opportunity, but I want them to have a level of maturity and be seasoned in the Lord where they can look at me and say, I know this looks good, it feels good, and it sounds good on paper, and it looks good out there, but trust me when I say to you that this is not what you need. They're not what you want. You should not be connected with them. You better watch out for them. Come on, is anybody listening to me today? I'm trying to tell all the Lots that are listening to me that you need an Abraham in your life. And all the Abrahams, you need a Lot that you can pour into. Now, here's the thing. Here's the cool thing about Abraham. And here's the cool thing about real seasoned, mature believers. You ready? Even after Lot got into the mess he was in, the word got back to Abraham, and Abraham didn't leave him in the mess that he was in. Abraham, come on, he rounded up some boys and he went down into the enemy's camp and he went down there with the attempt to rescue Lot out of the bondage that he was in. Come on, do you have real, you may say you have fathers in your life, but come on, you know what can determine whether they're real fathers in your life is when you end up getting in a mess, do they abandon you? Do they leave you? Or do you know that they're going to be in the trenches with you and they're going to go through hell and high water and they're going to see to it that you come out of the miry clay, come on, and set you on and establish your feet and get you back on track. That's the kind of fathers we need. So, again, this is not a long podcast today. This is an introduction to this series that we're going to do. It's just an introduction. So right now, before we close this broadcast today, I feel like there's going to be people on here today listening by podcast, watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook. And you, maybe you're in this predicament. Maybe you're faced with a major decision in your life and maybe it's a job opportunity. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a position in the church. Maybe it's a position at your job. Or maybe it's an actual move like I talked about. Maybe there's been an opportunity where you can move from one state to another. Or it's just something in you. It's saying do this, do that, go there, go this. And you're just wrestling with this. Well, there's an indicator right there. First of all, if you're wrestling with this decision, it means that you don't have any peace. Listen, some of the best things we can do is just wait upon the Lord. Let me give you a testimony real quick, and then we're going to pray with you guys and close out this broadcast. Many years ago, many of you guys know my backdrop. I got saved in 2000. Got radically saved, had a radical encounter with God. right after that, I got called into the ministry. I knew the Lord was calling me into the ministry, but at that time I didn't go into full-time ministry because I wasn't mature enough. Second of all, it just wasn't the timing of the Lord. And I understood that. I didn't understand that then, but I understood that later. So I had to do what I had to do to put food on the table. I had to work a job. I had to do what I didn't want to do. So I ended up working construction work outside in the cold, in the snow, in the rain, in the sleet, whether it be negative 10 degrees or it be 110 degrees. I had to show up every single day, do what I had to do. It was a very physical, demanding job, but I ended up being there for 5 years. And I remember while I was doing this job, I remember I knew in my spirit, I knew in my heart, this was not what I was called to do. I knew God had called me to evangelize. He'd called me to a ministry. He'd called me to be a voice. He called me to help people, equip people, and do what we're doing today, all the way back then. So what did I do? I wrestled with God and I said, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, use what you've got. Do what you can do with the resources that you have. So the Lord ended up promoting me to a position at this job where I worked out of my own building, and I had resources there that I had an old cassette player that I brought in. And I had a whole box of cassette tapes, and they were teachings from different prophetic preachers and ministers that I would get fed from. Because again, remember, I was still a fairly young believer at that time. I was only probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old in the Lord. So I wasn't very old in the Lord. So I was back here working this construction job, but on that cassette player, I was listening to these tapes over and over again, just feeding. Come on, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course I had a Bible and I would read that. I'd go on my lunch break and I would read the word. Then I'd go back to work and I would hear the word. Come on, I'd hear it, read it. I was just soaking it every single day. And then when customers would come in, I would witness to them the gospel. I would share my testimony. There'd be customers in tears. I'd led some people to the Lord. There was even a guy that I worked with. His name's Zach. He came out of a particular denomination that didn't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. And by the time we worked together after 2 years, he completely renounced that. He was completely converted. He believed in signs, wonders, and miracles. He believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Completely changed his whole thinking. And then he went back to Indianapolis after he left, went back to Indianapolis. His church didn't want to have anything to do with signs, wonders, and miracles. So he launched home meetings in his house, had people showing up for home meetings, and they were getting miraculously healed of ailments. And all that was that seed was planted, listen, not behind a pulpit, but it was in the marketplace. It was in a place of work. My pulpit was that building at this construction site where I was working. But does that mean I wanted to stay there? No. But it was the field that God gave me to steward until, come on somebody, he promoted me to an open door. The Bible says of John the Baptist that he dwelt in, or he remained in, wildernesses, plural tense. So he wasn't just in the Jordanian wilderness. He wasn't just in one wilderness. The Bible says he remained, you can read it. It's in Luke, I believe it's in Luke 188, if I'm not mistaken. He remained in wildernesses. So he went from one wilderness, thought he was going to get promoted, blessed, and step out of the wilderness into what God had called him. No, he went into another wilderness. Come on. Is there anybody out there that you've ever prayed to get out of one wilderness only to step into another wilderness? Come on, to get out of one job you hated only to step in another job that you hated even more. Come on, stepping out of the skillet or the oven to the frying pan or the whatever that saying goes. So for 5 years, I was faithful. What am I talking about? I'm still, I didn't take a rabbit trail. I'm still right on what I'm talking about today. So 5 years, I was faithful. I showed up to work, did all this. And then in 2008, the economic recession hit. And I told everybody I worked with, I said, look, I know I've got seniority here and I've been here for 5 years. And there was people there that only been there for 3 months. I said, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to tell me that they're going to furlough me or they're going to lay me off. And they said, no, that doesn't make any sense. You have much more seniority over this. They're going to lay us off before they lay you off. That wouldn't even make any sense. I said, guys, I'm telling you, because I had been praying and and I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm about to release you from this assignment. I'm going to release you from your Egypt. And I'm going to open a door that you're going to walk through. So, sure enough, one day I was doing my thing and got called up into the office of where I was working. And sure enough, they had the paperwork out and they said, we hate to do this, but because of the economic circumstances, et cetera, we're going to have to furlough you for 30 days. And I just, I wasn't even upset. This is the crazy. Oh, come on, somebody. How could I not be upset? Why? Because listen, there's a place in God that you can get so close to Him, have an ear so close to Him, so close to heaven, so close to His Spirit, and so close to His Word, that even when circumstances around you don't make any sense, they don't make any reason, things are falling apart. The doctor says this, the bankers say that, your family says this, your employees think you're a nut, and everybody around you says, why in the world would you do this? Why would you say that? Why would you go there? And why in the world would you do this? Listen, all that can be crumbling around. Listen, it can rain all around you, but you never get wet. Why? Because you've been in tune with heaven. You've been in tune with the Holy Spirit. And you, come on, my Bible says in the book of John that when He, the Spirit of truth, shall come, He will show you things to come. That's future tense. He will reveal to you things to come. Those are things that have not yet happened. And I knew in here, you guys listening podcasts, I'm pointing to my heart, my spirit, my soul, and my inner man. I knew here that I heard from God. So I went home. And at that time, my wife was in nursing school. Today, she's, praise God, she's graduated as a practitioner, but then she was just in nursing school to be an RN. So we were making okay money together, but definitely not on one income. So, and she, listen, we had been praying together, so she understood. She said, well, and this is the first thing out of her mouth. She said, it looks like God's going to open the door. And listen, let me say this one thing. Let me say this real quick, too. The whole time I was there working, all my employees that I worked with, even my own boss, came to me and they asked me not once, but several times in the 5 years I worked construction work. They said, why are you here? Why are you working this job? You need to be a preacher. You need to be teaching the Word of God. And these were people that didn't even serve God. They didn't know God. But listen, they recognize the calling on my life. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You can get to a place in God where everybody around you will recognize your calling. Oh, come on, somebody. In the New Testament, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, they spoke of Peter, James, and John, and they said, we know that these men had to have been with Jesus because their speech, because of the things that they say, the things that they do, because they had no education. They were fishermen. They were just common. So they said, there's no way that these men could be doing the things that they're doing unless they had been with Jesus. So in other words, watch this. The church may not recognize it. The discerning church will, the remnant will. But I'm telling you, the Bible says a prophet is without honor, even in his own hometown. So don't look for affirmation from those closest to you. Many times it's going to be people that, come on, maybe not even be serving the Lord, and they recognize it. But I said, look, guys, I said, I knew, they knew that I was called. But what they didn't know that I knew was I had to wait on God, because if I kicked the door open, I wasn't going to like what was on the other side. See, I'm still on the same page. See, Lot, it looked good. It smelled good. It had all the bells and whistles. It looked like it was a lot of money. Come on. They had the best restaurants. And you go to the book of Ezekiel, it said they had an abundance of bread. but they weren't feeding anybody. So we're going to get into that. But watch this. They had the best restaurants. They had the best shopping centers. Huh? Come on. They had all the bells and whistles. They had everything. Everything looked great. But because Lot was so quick to be moved by his flesh and his five senses, and not, and I really, honestly, I wonder, and you have to wonder if Abraham knew beforehand where Lot was going. Because again, your Bible says Abraham had to go back and rescue, or the attempt to rescue Lot. It's in your Bible. So here's the deal. Watch this. So let me get back to my testimony. So I got laid off, and then even my wife, she recognized, hey, it looks like it's time to move forward. So listen, that was then, that was in 2008. And then at that time I started, that was when Facebook started coming out. So I created a Facebook page, began to, the Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. So I started playing around with on my own Facebook page about taking headlines and going in the Bible and bringing a prophetic perspective. And I've been doing that for a while. And then, and I remember the doors begin to open there locally for me to go preach at. And then listen, 30 days later, I got a phone call from my job and they said, hey, we want you to come back. Now, look, I could have went back, but I knew, I felt in my spirit that it was not time to go back, and it was not time to go back at all because God had shut that door. And I knew, listen, everything on paper said you should probably go ahead and take that job. Now, I'm not telling you, listen, if you're listening to me, you better know that you know that you heard from God before you do something like this, because I'm telling you, a lot of people make quick decisions based on some book they read or somebody, you know, whatever. But I'm telling you, you got to hear from God. This is why you got to be, you have to have discernment and hear from the Holy Spirit. He's going to show you things to come. So they said, we need you to come back. I said, you know what? And I talked to my manager. I said, I'm not coming back. And he said, what? I said, no, I'm not coming back. And he said, why? He said, did you find another job? I said, I'm going to pursue what my calling is. I'm going to pursue what my fire, my passion, and what drives me and what I know that I'm called to do. Listen, he kind of questioned it, but he couldn't argue with that. He understood that this was what I was called to do. So he congratulated me and he said, good luck on your endeavors. I said, thank you. Hopefully one day I'll see you again. That was in 2008, guys. So for 2 years, it was the seed stage of planting the birthing of this ministry, the seed stage. And then in 2010, in June or July of 2010, I was done with Facebook, wanted to get off social media. I got on my Facebook page and I announced, I said, I'm calling it quits. I'm shutting down the page. I'm done with it. You know, whatever. This is a waste of my time. Hallelujah. Still is. It's in some essence, not this ministry, but I'm talking about in general. If it wasn't for ministry, I probably wouldn't be on Facebook. I'm just being honest with you, but this is a tool. God's reaching people, but it can also be a vice. But anyway, so about 4 or 5 hours later, I got my messenger blew up and all these pastors that I knew that I had a network with, they said, listen, they said, don't, they said, I know you're going to shut down your Facebook page and all this. They said, have you ever thought about launching a full-time ministry and using media? This was back in 2010, guys, media on social media. This wasn't even heard of back then. And I said, yeah, I don't know. I said, I'll have to pray about it. Well, I went to bed that night. I prayed about it, went to bed that night, woke up in July. This was in July. I woke up that next morning and this was just in my spirit. Like, I don't know where it came. Well, I know where it came from. It came from the Lord, but I didn't even write it down. I heard end time headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. God gave that to me. So I began to search online. Nope, there was no other end time headlines. We were it. That was it. So we launched our Facebook page, End Time Headlines. No graphics, no logos, no commercials, no videos, no promotions, no nothing. We launched it. And supernaturally, God just began to get the word out on social media, and it began to grow, and it began to take off. And again, we were doing exactly what we're doing. And again, this is why to this day, we just recently got our logo and our banner, our name, End Time Headlines, and our banner logo, our official ETH logo. All this is trademarked. So I'm just going to throw this out there on Facebook and YouTube and podcasts. There's a lot, especially on Facebook, there's other ministries that has come back recently and they've named their ministry End Time Headlines. I got news for you. You're getting ready to get contacted because that's a trademark name and we can't have that. It's got to come down because listen, and you say, well, I don't know if you should do that. Listen, if you birth the baby, you ain't going to have somebody come along and take and abduct your child. No. That came through prayer. That came through blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of seed. That is the ministry that God gave us to birth. So here's the bottom line. That I launched that in 2010, and it just took off. God has supernaturally blessed it, and that is how End Time Headlines was launched. What am I talking about? I'm talking about there. I believe more than ever, there's a lot of distractions out there, guys. And 2020 was the worst. 2021, I believe it's going to get worse. The voice of the world is going to become louder and it's going to become more dominant. And you and I are going to have to decide how much of the voice of God are we going to be tuned in with? Listen, your family, your family's depending on it. Your ministry's depending on it. Your business is depending on it. Your health may be depending on it. Your children may be depending on it. Everything is vital that we hear from the Holy Spirit. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, that's going to be our opening. And I know, listen, for all you guys, people that were looking for a whole different perspective on this, just hang in there. Look for our next starting, let's see, what is today? Thursday. We're going to be out here on Thursday, 2 days from now. When we launch the second part of this, that's where we're going to get into the deep stuff. We're going to pull out some historical text. We're going to pull out some Jewish history. We're going to pull out Ezekiel. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, and we're going to pull out the culture of that day, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to pull out a lot of detail, word on word, line on line, precept on precept. So I promise you, if you'll hang in there, you're going to love this series. So again, don't forget to subscribe to our main website. Again, it's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you've not yet subscribed or downloaded our free app. It's available on Android and it's available on Apple. You can get that app, get it on in your hands, and you can keep up with our ministry. Again, as always, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has been a continual blessing to you, it edifies you, it encourages you, it informs you, and it equips you. I want to let you know that you have the opportunity to partner with us to help us to remain strong. Again, this we operate and we function and we do what we do out of your generous support. So whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, we want to give you the opportunity to support this ministry. You can do that again through the app. You can give through the app. You can give through online. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. And again, just pray and ask the Lord what he would have you to do to support and partner with our ministry, either a one-time gift or maybe become a monthly partner. And I believe you're helping us. I know that you're helping us get the word out, and we're reaching people, not just in the United States of America, not just Australia, not just Europe, not just Germany, not all those places there, but we're even all the way into Africa and outside of the United States of America. We're reaching people literally around the world through the lens of a camera, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So guys, let's pray real quick. I'm going to pray with those that are watching today, and then we're going to close this segment out for today. Father, I thank you for those that may be on the ropes here of a decision. They may be in the valley of decision. They've got to decide whether to go left, whether to go to the right, whether to go forward, whether to remain, whether to move, whether to stay, whether to break up this relationship, whether to stay in this relationship. Do they take the advice of this or do they not take the advice of that? They need to hear from the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I'm asking right now, I believe that you're going to be putting it into the hearts of those that are watching this by Facebook, watching by YouTube, watching by podcast, or listening to my podcast. Those are going to be, they're going to be driven just like Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested and tried for 40 days and 40 nights. I believe there's people that are watching and listening. The Holy Spirit is going to drive you into a place of solitude, a place away from, a quiet place, a place of devotion, away from the noise, away from the distractions, so that they can fast, so that they can pray, so that they can tune in, they can get into your word and hear the Holy Spirit and what he would give them for the next 12 months as we go into 2021. And Lord, I pray that, Father, that they would hear clearly from you. You said in your word that your sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and the voice of a stranger they will discern, and they will not follow that stranger, but they will be led by the true shepherd, which is the bishop of their souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is leading, who is guiding, and who is directing his flock, his remnant in the land today. Those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, let him hear and let him see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this hour. And Father, we thank you for this. And it's in the name of Jesus, all God's people prayed and said amen and amen. Guys, we love you. We appreciate you. And again, we will see you guys back on Thursday to continue our series. Don't forget to share this. Don't forget to tag some people in this. Share the YouTube link. Share the podcast and invite people over to listen to this message. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.